myself behind. Soon in the swaying through the fairyland of love. If you would just come with me and see the beauty of Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Oh, sadly, our press seems to be getting a little less free with each passing day. We've got a president who's obsessed with something that he calls fake news. Yes, fake news.
Now, a word or two about the president railing against hashtag fake news. Almost every single time he's used that term, the news has been accurate. It's just been news he doesn't like.
Yeah, you know, he likes news that's kind to him. In fact, there's a lot going on now. When I did What's News this morning, you know, I knew North Korea was lurking there in the background. I think I was trying to take a role sort of like the Obama administration did, which is ignore it and maybe it'll go away. Really, I think what the Obama administration did was I think they dealt with it in certain ways, but in other ways, thinking that they just wanted the attention, you know, like a petulant child, which is what Kim Jong-un is, isn't it? Anyway, things have been ratcheting up, and just literally within the last hour, there's been breaking news. North Korea has produced a miniaturized nuclear warhead that can fit inside its missiles, according to analysts. They're saying that North Korea now has the capability of making missile-ready nuclear weapons, crossing a key threshold on the path to becoming a full-fledged nuclear power. This is scary, scary shit. So, as this was breaking, Donald Trump was on Twitter, What did he tweet? Well, he had three tweets. One was email, quote, emails show that the Amazon Washington Post and the failing New York Times were reluctant to cover the Clinton Lynch secret meeting in plain. What? The Bill Clinton Loretta Lynch meeting in the plane? How long ago was that? And really, that's what he's tweeting about now? And then the next one was, after 200 days, rarely has any administration achieved what we have achieved. Not even close. Don't believe the fake news suppression polls. Yeah, there are new polls out today that show Trump at an all-time low. He just keeps, you know, it's like the old limbo. How low can you go? And he keeps going lower and lower. But instead of, and any minute now, I guess he's supposed to be giving his biggest briefing ever on the opioid crisis. Still no word on whether or not he's going to answer any questions, and certainly no word on if he'll address the news coming out of North Korea. Not that I expect him to do either one. But even more, well, not more distressing than the news from North Korea, because that's pretty damn distressing. And I don't know where we go from here. I'm certainly anything but a military genius. When we talk about the free press and what's real news and what's fake news, as Jake Tapper said there, when he says fake news, it's just news that is not complimentary to him. And something else broke in the last few minutes we'll get to with, I'm sure, with Gotta Laugh. I'll leave that for a little while. But I want to play you a longer clip because this weekend, the Trump news channel debuted on Facebook and Jake Tapper had a few words to say about it. So maybe you heard about it. His Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura I almost said Bush. Laura Trump is running it because she was once a producer on Inside Edition. So, you know, she's qualified. And now Kayleigh McEnany is on it as well. And it's propaganda. It's just plain old
propaganda, 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 propaganda.
It's what it is.
Propaganda, 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 propaganda.
All right. So there. That's what it is. It is pure propaganda. And here's Jake Tapper.
Quote, hard to believe that with 24/7 hashtag fake news on CNN.
Starting with Donald Trump tweets.
Quote, hard to believe that with 24/7 hashtag fake news on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, New York Times and Washington Post, the Trump base is getting stronger. Of course, recent polling actually shows the president losing ground with his base. In addition to that dismal 33% approval rating overall, a Quinnipiac poll last week found that the president is underwater when it comes to white, non-college educated voters, a key part of his base. 43% approving against hashtag fake news. Almost every single time he's used that term, the news has been accurate. It's just been news he doesn't like. You can start with his, I think, very first usage of the term, that CNN scoop, that intelligence chief, specifically then FBI director, briefed then President-elect Trump on the existence of that dossier which had made unsubstantiated claims about leverage Russians claim to have had on the president-elect. This was the president-elect's reaction to our report.
Don't be rude.
You're attacking us. Can you give us a question?
Don't be rude.
Can you give us a question?
I'm not going to give you a question.
Can you stay categorical?
You are fake news.
Now, every word of that CNN report has been proven to be true, as verified eventually by James Comey and President Trump. Or you can take reports by CNN and the Washington Post and others of that tense conversation between President Trump and the Australian Prime Minister in January. On February 3rd, the president tweeted, thank you to Prime Minister of Australia for telling the truth about our very civil conversation that fake news media lied about. Very nice. But we now know from the leak last week of the transcript in the Washington Post that the president did not have a civil conversation with the Australian Prime Minister. He told him, quote, I have had it. I've been making these calls all day, and this is the most unpleasant call all day. Putin was a pleasant call. This is ridiculous. So all of this prompts the question, what does the Trump team think is real news using this Orwellian nomenclature? Well, we found out yesterday when President Trump's Facebook page unveiled a mock newscast
from
former CNN contributor and longtime Trump supporter Kayleigh McEnany. The conservative website redstate.com called this, quote, propaganda straight out of North Korea's playbook. Obama's former ambassador to Russia said it, quote, feels eerily like so many state-owned channels I've watched in other countries. But take a look and judge for yourselves.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kaylee McEnany. Thank you for joining us as we provide you the news of the week from Trump Tower here in New York. Overall, since the president took office, President Trump has created more than 1 million jobs.
What?
It's interesting language. She claimed that President Trump himself has created more than 1 million jobs.
Yeah.
Not business owners, not Congress, not Wall Street, not investors, not hardworking small businessmen and women. President Trump created those jobs. That's their idea of real news. The Trump Weekly News Roundup is being funded by President Trump's reelection campaign. McEnany, who was also just named spokeswoman for the RNC, signed off her broadcast like this.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. I'm Kaylee McEnany, and that is the real news.
No.
Now, empirically, there's nothing journalistic about a political organization that exists to support a politician cheering on that politician. It's not real, and it's not news, and it's definitely not real news.
See, it is not real news. It's not news at all. And yet they're trying to tell you that it is. Once again, gaslighting. Telling you the real news is fake news and the fake news is real news. I used to have a saying talking about Berlusconi, who used to rule Italy. He controlled the media, and it was by the control of the media that he got control of the country. He who controls the media controls the country. That's why this is so frightening. You know, you need more proof of the gaslighting, telling you so the sky is green when it's actually blue. This is one more quick clip, and then we'll get to Gotta Laugh. But CNN was reporting over the weekend. Nikki Haley actually did a good job getting all 15 nations that were participating at the UN to sign on to sanctions against North Korea for those recent missile tests. And CNN all weekend long was reporting on it. Donald Trump, of course, tweeted out as CNN was reporting on it that they weren't reporting on it.
This was a gut punch to North Korea today. And this was a strong day for the United States. It was a strong day for the international community. It was not a good day for North Korea.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says a unanimous UN vote slapping North Korea with the strongest sanctions yet shows the world is united against the reclusive regime's nuclear ambitions.
And the president also saying he is happy and impressed with the latest round of UN sanctions against North Korea.
The United Nations Security Council over the weekend unanimously, 15-0, passed a resolution imposing new sanctions against North Korea.
North Korea is vowing revenge against the United States after the UN Security Council, led by U.S. Ambassador Nikki Haley, unanimously adopted the toughest sanctions yet against that country.
Interesting note, that clip by Jake yesterday was actually airing at the moment the president tweeted this. The fake news media will not talk about the importance of the UN Security Council's 15-0 vote in favor of sanctions on North Korea. That is just not true.
There are times this behavior seems almost pathological. The pattern of falsehoods that come from the president's Twitter feed. And it affects his aides as well. And it affects his media allies like Sean Hannity, because then they have to back up the BS that he's posting on Twitter. He also said the New York Times is losing a lot of money on Twitter last night. The New York Times responded by saying we're profitable and our stock is up 50% right now.
The fact of the matter is the guy watches too much TV and he's on Twitter too much, and he thinks he knows everything, and what he says is the rule. Anyway, we'll get to some tweets and some other news coming up with Gotta Laugh in a few minutes that shows you, you know, that that's not the case at all. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll do What's News and come back with Gotta Laugh, because it's Tuesday, and she joins us every Tuesday here on the Nicole Sandler Show.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
With Congress on recess for August and the president taking a 17-day break at his Bedminster, New Jersey golf property, it's a slow news period. As it was raining Monday morning, Trump was watching CNN instead of playing golf, and he took to Twitter to criticize Richard Blumenthal after the senator from Connecticut's appearance on the network's morning show, tweeting,
I think Senator Blumenthal should take a nice long vacation in Vietnam, where he lied about his service, so he can at least say he was there. And earlier in the day, he also had a series of tweets. Interesting to watch Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut talking about hoax Russian collusion when he was a phony Vietnam con artist. Never in U.S. history has anyone lied or defrauded voters like Senator Richard Blumenthal. He told stories about his Vietnam battles and conquests, how brave he was, and it was all a lie. He cried like a baby and begged for forgiveness like a child. Now he judges collusion.
Trump was mocking Blumenthal over statements the senator made in 2010 saying he'd served in Vietnam. While Blumenthal has publicly apologized for claiming that he served in Vietnam, he actually did enlist in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve, where he served from 1970 to 76. He said he regretted saying in Vietnam, not during Vietnam. Meanwhile, Trump received 5 draft deferments during the Vietnam War for bone spurs in his heel and educational purposes. In 1997, on the Howard Stern Show, Trump said that the danger he faced from getting sexually transmitted diseases was his own personal Vietnam.
I tell you, it's amazing. I can't even believe it. I've been so lucky,
right,
in terms of that whole world.
Because you've never gotten a social disease.
It is a dangerous world out there.
It is.
Scary. It's like Vietnam, Vietnam
is.
Era.
It is your personal Vietnam, isn't it?
It is my personal
It is. You've
Vietnam.
Said that many
I feel
times.
Like a great and very brave soldier.
A lot of guys who went through Vietnam came out unscathed. A lot of guys who've gone through the 80s having sex with different women came out with AIDS,
right,
and all
they,
kinds of
they
things.
They survived Vietnam.
This
and
is better than Vietnam, but
war.
It's...
A little better, but every vagina is a landmine. Haven't we both said that in private?
A potential.
A potential landmine?
I think it is.
That's right.
There's some real danger there.
Blumenthal went on CNN with Wolf Blitzer Monday afternoon to respond to the president's Twitter tantrum.
I have no idea about what is in his mind. What I do know is I will not be distracted by this bullying. And these bullying tweets reinforce for me the need for a piece of legislation that I am helping to lead with Tom Tillis and others, bipartisan coalition, to prevent firing of the special counsel Robert Mueller, whom he has also sought to intimidate. And the kinds of statements we've seen about drawing red lines around financial dealings, about calling the investigation a witch hunt or a hoax, and the attacks on the team that Robert Mueller has assembled, all point to a looming constitutional crisis if the president proceeds with firing Robert Mueller. And that's why preventing it, forestalling that kind of constitutional conflagration, is the objective of a group of us, a bipartisan coalition, including both Republican and Democratic colleagues who are intent on sending a message that the rule of law will prevail and no one is above the rule of law, including the president.
During his Monday tweet storm, Trump also declared that his political base is, quote, bigger and stronger than ever before. And he ticked off several factors that he said have driven the Trump base even closer. This despite some new polling that says otherwise.
A new poll from CNN shows 38% approve of Trump's job performance at the 200-day mark. That's down 6 points from where he was around 100 days into his presidency. The poll finds that only 24% strongly approve of the job the president is doing, while nearly half, 47%, strongly disapprove. And despite the president's claims on Twitter that his base is, quote, stronger than ever before, the poll shows just 59% of Republicans say they approve strongly. That is down 14 points since February. When asked if President Trump is someone they are proud to have as president, 34% say they are. 63% say no. And on whether they trust most of what they hear in official communications from the White House, just 24% of Americans say yes, while 73% say no.
Trump's assertion that the mainstream media is fake news was also represented in his Twitter tirade on Monday, ironically, as his Facebook page launched its own fake newscast that looks suspiciously like state-run propaganda. CNN's Jake Tapper had an assessment.
The conservative website redstate.com called this, quote, propaganda straight out of North Korea's playbook. Obama's former ambassador to Russia said it, quote, feels eerily like so many state-owned channels I've watched in other countries. Now, empirically, there's nothing journalistic about a political organization that exists to support a politician cheering on that politician. It's not real, and it's not news. And it's definitely not real news.
Monday marked the 200th day of the Trump administration. We still have almost 13 more of these 100-day periods to go. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these segments and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener-funded, and I can't continue it without your support. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation?
Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And it doesn't cost you anything extra.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
All right. Yes, it's that time of the week when we get Gotta Laugh on the line. Hello.
Yes, you've reached the Trump's fake Twitter followers hotline.
Oh, I know there's a bunch of them out there.
Oh, there's many. Press 1 if you think Trump's hopes were dashed when he found out it was impossible to grab one of his fake Twitter bots stock photo pussy.
Yeah.
Press 2 if you think Trump will hire one of his fawning fake Twitter followers as executive producer of his new fake news channel.
Yeah, probably.
Press 3 if you think the reason Trump likes Twitter accounts that use stock photos for their avatars is that it reminds him of his own high school yearbook senior picture.
The one with all the fake medals and stuff from his military academy days?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That whole thing about, I have a whole tab up for you on this, on the fake accounts and the one that had 100-some-odd thousand followers who he was, you know, thanking publicly. And it turned out it was just a bot and it was a fake, it was a stock photo that, you know, she used for her avatar.
Yes.
That was amazing. It all turned out to be, let me find, here's the story. It's okay. So the pictures of her were stock model photos from around the web. This is from Talking Points Memo.
Right.
And it turned out basically it was a merchandising thing. It was, I wish I had the recap, but it was, where all these people were, you know, using these stock photo bot accounts to hawk to go to a site to hawk merchandising for Trump.
Yes, to the Trump gear, the Trump re-election gear.
Yes, yeah. It was. That's all that was. All about money. All about. And they were all suspended. At least most of them, it seemed to be, were suspended. And then there was a woman in New Jersey who goes by the real name Nicole Mincy, who was, you know, passed off as this account, who allegedly filed a police report alleging her identity had been stolen to create that account.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
It's
here it is. The merchandise store Nicole had founded, ProTrump45.com, was and is still online, but she disappeared from the site to be replaced by a new dark-complected young woman modeling pro-Trump T-shirts.
Yeah, probably another stock photo stolen from online somewhere.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it for a second. But, I mean, this was just one big scam. This presidency, if you want to call it that, is nothing more than a way for him or his organization to make money, period.
Yep.
End of story.
No, it's true. Termantown in the chat room said, grifter's got a grift. That's what
there
it is.
There you go.
And as for the retweeting, I guess he retweeted this bot account, right? Well, did you hear what he did this morning? He retweeted
a tweet from
Fox News.
Yes.
That had classified information, and Nikki Haley was on Fox and they asked her about it. She said, oh, I can't comment on something, you know, that has classified information. And if it's out there in the media, shame on them or something like that. But I guess when Donald Trump does it, it's okay.
Well, not only that, but it cited anonymous intelligence sources,
right,
which he loves to criticize.
Of course.
If it's anonymous, how can it be true?
Unless it's on Fox, then it's okay.
Right. Right.
Or Sinclair. Yeah. We should mention Sinclair. Now we're gonna have to mention Sinclair whenever we mention Fox. I don't know if you saw last night. I watched a little bit of Rachel Maddow's show. Joy Reid was hosting, and she had this guy on that I'm trying to get on the show. Ramesh.
Good. Oh, good.
Srinivasan. And he was great. He's a UCLA professor, but he was talking about how dangerous this is, the Sinclair Broadcasting. Now they're in something like 32% of
they're on 70% now. 72% of U.S. households. I'm looking at the Politico report. How Trump's FCC aided Sinclair's expansion, use of a regulatory loophole will allow Sinclair to reach.
Yes.
72% of U.S. households after buying Tribune stations. And they expect the deal to go through. That's why I right. made it into
But
the,
so it's
the
not
president.
There yet. Right now, it's currently at around 30-something
yeah.
percent. But
yeah.
once this deal goes through, and it will go through, because the Agent Poo, or whatever his name is,
Ajit Pai.
Right.
Yeah.
The FCC commissioner, you know, he's a Trumper. So he you know, he's trying to kill net neutrality, and he'll usher the Sinclair deal through where they can have 72% penetration. Someone in the chat room just said they're going to get Channel 5 in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, they are. Tribune is Channel 5. I was having fights with people on Twitter since last night about, and I, you know, from their timelines, they looked like they were at least libertarian, if not liberal. I mean, I couldn't tell. They were supporting things that I support. And so I was like, why are you arguing? They were saying, oh, no, all you have to do is turn the channel. Excuse me. And also they were saying, oh, it's, you know, free speech. No, it's forcing propaganda onto TV, local TV news networks, or not networks, but stations, and unsuspecting viewers take it as real news.
Right. They take it as real news, and they're presenting these things. Plus, they have, is it Sebastian Gorka? Is that who the guy is? Who's doing these commentaries?
No, and that's Boris Epstein.
Oh, Boris Epstein. Sorry, I get them mixed up.
They're all the same.
Yeah, they sound the same. Boris Epstein has these commentaries, and they're making them air them 9 times a week or something insane. And I guess there's a thing where people trust local news more than they do
yes.
the national networks. I don't get that because I can't watch local news. It's if it bleeds, it leads, and it's all, you know,
yeah,
it's all terrible. So I don't really watch much local news.
I never do, actually.
Right. But
you know, never will now.
But I guess people trust it, and they're being force-fed this propaganda.
You know, it feels like home, you know, it's, yep. you're talking about
city. Your neighborhood, your city, right?
Exactly. And your killings and your murders and your rapes and all the things that you were referring to when it bleeds, it leads. And now you have somebody coming on looking straight into the camera, telling you locally, even though it's word for, did you see John Oliver's segment on this?
Oh, yes. He did a great job.
I think we mentioned it last week, didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he went into it beautifully. He showed clips, and I think you may have even played them, I don't remember, of the same exact script being read out loud over and over
and that's
and over
different
again.
from the Boris Epstein things. Those are scripts that are provided to each station, again, that they're required to run. It's not like the local news director has some say in what, you know, what the local news is. They're being mandated, you must run this propaganda.
Right. Exactly. It's
and again,
just awful.
He who controls the media controls the country. This is what frightens me. And you know, I don't know if you saw it. I'm going into tweets. Ari Berman tweeted out something, you know, Ari Berman, who does such great work on voting rights. The day after the 52nd anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, Donald Trump, approves a whole voter purge program. It's just one thing after another, after another, after another.
Meanwhile, speaking of fake, I just happened to catch something that said David Letterman is coming back. I don't know what that's about.
I'll tell you, he's coming to Netflix. He's going to do a talk show, but it's not going to be like his old show. It's going to be like one guest and like a field piece where he goes out in the field, but it'll be on Netflix. I don't know when, but that's the game
plan.
Oh, I'm
so glad to hear that. I hope he shaves his beard.
I was just
anyway,
say that.
So Trump apparently just said, this is through the AP, if North Korea escalates the nuclear threat, quote, they will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. It's going to be the best fire and fury. That I can tell you, believe me. I mean, this is his answer. This is how he deal. I'm going to be doing the rest of the show in my duck and cover position from under my desk.
You know, that's frightening. And you're in L.A. and that's even more frightening.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I'm within range. So nice knowing you. If I don't show up for, you know, a show at one point or another, you'll know why.
Well, I think I'll hear about it if something happens by then. If you're not there, I don't think I'll be here either. I mean, if
that's true.
Heard at the top of the show, I mean, the news just broke this less than an hour ago. North Korea has produced a miniaturized nuclear warhead that can fit inside those ICBMs, which is frightening. And what's more frightening, leave that alone, the fact that Donald Trump is president of the United States.
That's the worst part of this. I mean, you know, if there's going to be bad news and we have some kind of a crisis, the worst part is Trump. Now, I've been hearing two different things, and maybe you can clarify. Maybe you know the difference. I heard one expert and people I would trust, you know, not just idiots who you think, who are they? I can't remember who it was now. But one said, don't get too crazy. They're not going to be able to attack the United States for 5 years. And then another one said within a year, you know, it could be 10 months, could be a year and 2 months, but approximately a year. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. The fact that
it doesn't matter.
That Donald Trump is in the White House and he's got the nuclear codes and you know, and he's an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good summation of what he is. Yeah.
I know.
So you want to go right to TweetSpot, because I've got so much, you know, up on.
Yeah,
my
I need to apologize to everybody today. I had root canal yesterday, and the second half of it is actually going to be done next Monday. So I'm in a bit
that's
of
the
agony.
Easy part.
That's the next week is the easy part.
It should be. Didn't they do the drilling already?
They did the drilling and they did the cleaning out of the roots. And
yeah, the next one's easy.
Okay. And then I have to get a crown, which in addition to the pain in the pocketbook is there as well. So if anybody has a few extra bucks that they want to chip in.
Yes, please do. I would think donations would be appropriate at this point when you have to pay your medical bill or your dental bills. And, you know, generally speaking.
No dental insurance.
Right.
So
there you go. It's $2,500.
Yeah, that's right. So NicoleSandler.com/donate. If you can, you know, if you listen to the show and enjoy the show and you can spare a few extra dollars or monthly donation, I could certainly use it right about now. All right. That'll make the pain not so horrible, but it is pretty, it's pretty horrible. All right. Yeah. Let's do this.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
What tweets you got, Laffy?
Okay, I'm going to do the most recent one first. You don't have this one.
Okay.
Because it is, I think this is what you were referring to earlier. This is unbelievable. It's from Vice News.
Yes.
Is that the one, right?
It is.
Trump gets a folder full of positive news about himself twice a day. These sensitive papers, described to Vice News by three current and former White House officials, are not top secret intelligence or updates or on legislative initiatives. Instead, yeah, the folders are filled with screenshots of positive cable news chyrons, which are the lower third headline that you see.
And the cross, right?
Admiring tweets, transcripts of fawning TV interviews, praise-filled news stories, and sometimes, get this one, just pictures of Trump on TV looking powerful, whatever that means. But yeah,
you know, Trump looking not the pictures of his triple chin or his tennis butt with the adult diaper showing through the white tennis shorts. I like this one. One White House official said the only feedback the White House communication shop, which prepares the folder, has ever gotten in all these months is, quote, "It needs to be more fucking positive."
Right.
That's why some in the White House ruefully refer to the packet as the propaganda document. Boy, today's show is filled with propaganda. But they do this every day. He gets it twice a day, one at 9:30 in the morning and the follow-up at around 4:30 in the afternoon.
And apparently, Reince Priebus and Sean Spicer both were fighting over the privilege of giving him these 20 to 25 page packets of you know, look at you. Look, what a good boy. How's your self-esteem today, sir? Oh, really? Look at this, honey. I mean, they're treating him like a damn toddler. My God.
To this country, what did you do? Really? I mean, what the hell did you do? I'm still in shock from it all. The fact
I am
that
too, and you know, I've got to tell you, I've mentioned this before on the show, but it's hitting home more and more. I used to be in a DM, a direct message group on Twitter, where people include you, and then a whole bunch of people are DMing each other about stuff. And this was during the election, mm-hmm. and I was in a group with a bunch of what people would refer to as Bernie bros. These are people who wanted Hillary to lose at all costs.
Oh, God.
They didn't, you know, once Bernie was out of the race and it was Hillary versus Trump, they didn't care. They hated her so. And these were honest to God liberals. These were not.
Right. No,
there are
some of them. Yep.
Yeah. I think they were mostly for Jill Stein. Some people didn't care who it was as long as it wasn't Hillary. And their point was, well, the country will see what it's like. And they'll finally understand that somebody like Bernie is what we need. You know, let Trump screw up the country. We'll have to fix it later. Well, you know what? You can't fix some things. You cannot fix some things. If he gets his way, now, first of all, look at all the Republican governors that we have now, and some of these, a lot of these governors have GOP legislatures, so that they can pretty much control the state, just as California has the Democratic version of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you get enough of those, you can pass a constitutional amendment.
Yeah.
You can try.
You can try. And there's been talk of it, having a constitutional convention. That's what they want to do.
Right.
Yeah. They can push us over the edge.
You've got voting rights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, right? And you've already got your gerrymandering and your voter suppression. So people have been, and this is going to come up in my tweets, but people are talking about how, oh, you know, we'll take over the at least the House. You know, watch the Democrats in 2018. Everybody hates Trump so much. You know what? Not necessarily. That's not necessarily going to happen. And let's go.
You got to be about more than against Trump. And that's the whole thing. There was somebody had sent me a video a week or two ago of an event that was in Los Angeles, in Pasadena. It was a Take Back the DNC or something, or DNC Pushback. And it was a Yes Men stunt. And basically they laid out Bernie's agenda as it were the DNC doing it. People didn't get it. They went through the whole 2-hour thing asking questions, talking about Medicare for all, talking about a minimum $15 an hour minimum wage, talking about all, you know, all of those good things. And mm-hmm. people that were there didn't get that it was a Yes Men stunt.
I wondered. I saw little bits fly by about that, and I didn't look into it. That's interesting.
Yeah. They've got to be for something, and more than better, what is it, better ingredients or whatever the thing is, the new DNC slogan.
A better deal.
A better deal.
What, that's the stupidest? Anyway.
Yes.
Well, let me just go to number four on our Twitter thing here. Dave Wasserman of 538 and the Cook Report said, fact, if Dems won every single 2018 race in places Clinton won or Trump won by 3% or less, the GOP could still keep the House and gain 5 Senate seats. Now, I think Chris Hayes covered this last night. Now, I had a friend who responded, but I tend to go along with Chris's trepidation over this, not hers. Her response was, meanwhile, Supreme Court will decide whether political gerrymandering can continue. Predictions such as these are a waste of time. Way to discourage voting, dude. 48% didn't vote last time, and that was Dem's foremost problem.
Well, that is true.
Well, she makes a good point. She's a really a smart tweeter. I really like her. But take heed here, because people are getting – you know, the people who at least you tweet me, and I get a ton of tweets every day, are all sort of, you know, just like the, oh, Trump is toast thing when they said that in 2016, and, oh, Trump's going to get impeached, you know, in 2018. Don't count on that.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't count on it either. And even if the Democrats do take back the House, they can start impeachment proceedings. But the Democrats are not going to take back the Senate. There's only one Senate seat up for grabs that in a state that Hillary Clinton won, and that's Dean Heller's in Nevada.
And now the name has given him $1 million. Mitch McConnell
gave him $1 million
for going along with health care.
Voting on healthcare. Exactly. And so the map doesn't favor Democrats in the Senate. You know, anything can happen. If people get out and vote, anything can happen. But, you know, that remains to be seen. But in order for him to be removed from office, I think it's 3/5 of the Senate would have to then convict him, which is not likely to happen.
No, I agree with that 100%. So anyway, all right. So number one on my list here, Robert Schooley is a producer writer who does some really good tweets. And I'm going on to this fake Twitter account stuff that when Trump retweeted, and no, he said he retweeted this fake account that we were talking about, Nicole Mincy, and said thanks because she had complimented him. And then next thing you see is her account's been deleted. So he's thanking a deleted account. But anyway, Robert Schooley said, the party obsessed with fake voters and fake news welcomes support from fake people. And then Josh Marshall of Talking Points Memo, he dug around, and this is what I was telling you. He said, Trump suckered into retweeting a post from a bot persona, which was created to push a merchandise store to make a buck selling Trump paraphernalia.
Yeah, so that's about
right. Why aren't people waking up? Oh, I know why, but, you know, wake up, people.
Yeah.
Just wake the hell up. Judd Legum,
Legum, yeah.
Yeah, okay, from Think Progress. He said, right-wing trolls are trying to dupe immigrants to go to Starbucks on August 11th so that ICE can deport them. And then there's a paragraph I took out. Created by internet trolls, the fraudulent ad titled Starbucks Dreamer Day reads, quote, all undocumented Americans will receive an item on the Starbucks menu 40% off with the hashtag border free coffee. Starbucks senior vice president of global communications said the rumor is completely false, 100% fake. So they're trying to lure undocumented immigrants to a Starbucks so they can scoop them up.
That's insane. All right. I hope nobody goes along with that. I mean, if they do, they're stupid.
Well, people believe what they read, you know? It's just not fun.
7-Eleven, on July 11th, you get a free Slurpee at 7-Eleven. That I know.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll get scooped up there, too, if these trolls, you know, push their little coupon. Anyway, Jenny Jardin of Boing Boing.
Yes.
She said, I love her. She said, the cute new face of Trump's white supremacy, whose career got a boost from CNN, and she's talking about Kayleigh McEnany, who is now the hired spokesperson, as you pointed out, for the Republican National Committee.
Unreal.
And she, Kayleigh, had tweeted out back in the day, in 2012, I believe, how I met your brother. Never mind, forgot he's still in that hut in Kenya. And then hashtag Obama TV shows. That's who they hired.
Yes, and she's working with Laura Trump on this, and whoever else
on the fake news thing. But
by the way,
she's also now the spokesperson for the RNC.
Yes, she is. Oh God, it just goes from bad to worse. By the way, Joni came in the chat room to say it was more than 3/5 of the Senate to convict and remove would take 2/3 of the Senate, 67 of them. So my math is not very good in my old age.
That's okay. You've got your tooth to worry about.
Yes,
that's cool. Anyway, Dan Marica of CNN. I always read that as Dan Marica.
Me too.
Marica,
it looks like Dan Marica.
Maybe it is. He said, for Team Trump, the president's new New Jersey golf club is now, quote, the summer White House. So Hunter DK of Daily Kos responded, I love this, Trump orders his limo to drive through McDonald's. Scavino, today's POTUS visited the lunchtime White House. I just love that. That was
such
a good one.
Hey, I've got one for you. The Hill tweeted out, Trump made up story about New York restaurant renovation he compared to war in Afghanistan.
Yes, yes.
Did you hear that? This was a made-up story about the 21 Club that he used that as an analogy to Afghanistan, how they remodeled the 21 Club. And he got the thing all wrong, and so it figures it was a made-up story. And our pal David Waldman, you know, CAGRO X, retweeted it with the little note. He's a lying shit-for-brains asshole.
I saw that one. I love that one. I should have put that up in my thing, but I didn't. I'm glad you brought that up.
I
should have done that.
Yes.
Okay, so I was watching the TV today, and I was watching Ali Velshi and Stephanie Ruhle.
Yeah, they're
who
very
I generally
good.
Like very much.
Ali Velshi. She's on the fence for me, but that's okay. You know what? I don't have to agree with someone 100%, just like I don't expect people who listen to the show to agree with me 100%. I like that she has an opinion and that she's generally more progressive than not, although some things I disagree with her on, and that's going to happen.
Well, as usual, we share a brain because it's exactly how I feel. I do enjoy her. I don't always agree with her. Mm-hmm. And today they had on two people who I detest, who you detest. We all detest. Gorka.
Hey.
And Eric Prince.
Oh, God. Right. Eric Prince has been making the rounds. He was on something last night that I had to turn off. I don't remember what it was.
Because
CNN.
He had an op-ed out saying that he wants to privatize the army, basically.
He wants to privatize the war in Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's basically what he said.
Yeah.
Not really privatize the U.S. Army. I was just saying that.
Right.
Like,
but Afghanistan, he wants to turn that into a private. It's not Blackwater anymore. It's not G anymore. I forget the name of his new mercenary force, but he wants Afghanistan to just be turned over to the mercenaries, I guess, to his company.
Yeah, he wants to make a profit. And when they confronted him about, well, what kind of profit would you make? He hemmed and hawed and couldn't say. But anyway, so Gorka was on. Where, you know, like I'm trying to shower and get ready in the morning and watch TV while I do all that and at the same time tweet, so don't ask. So I didn't get everything, but Gorka was basically excusing, they said to him, why hasn't Trump said anything about the bombing of that mosque in Minnesota?
Yeah, good
and
question.
And he said, basically, well, it's too early. We need more facts to come in. Like that ever stopped them before? Like they make things up? And, you know, we haven't heard a word about this bombing from Trump.
Well, you know what we also haven't heard from Trump is there was another Marine helicopter that went down off Australia. He doesn't say a word about the dead Marines either.
No, probably because they weren't white. Were they white?
I have no idea.
Oh,
because
it shouldn't those things slide.
I know, because it shouldn't matter. And I have no idea. I know they released the names and the families were going, well, what the hell? What about
I know,
us?
Right? God, yeah. Gorka was being such a condescending dick. He was rude to them.
That's what he does, doesn't he?
Oh,
he talks like this and he is a condescending asshole. Maybe we should play him a song.
You should.
Should we? Okay. Well,
yeah.
Let's do it then.
About the brand new world's biggest asshole.
Asshole.
It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 His name is
Sebastian Gorka.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole. Oh, yeah.
Asshole.
So,
yeah.
Gotta laugh. Tell me, what did he say that made you say he's an asshole?
I don't remember. It was that they were trying to interject something. He was lying about something, I recall.
Shocker.
And they tried to challenge him. Huh?
I said shocker.
Yeah, right. And and they interjected to catch him up on that point before he continued. And he stopped them dead and said something like, excuse me,
yes.
I want to finish my thought. You know, just something really annoying. So I said that we should now coin a phrase when somebody is a dick like that and say you've been gorked.
That's a
good
one.
Which many people have been.
Yes, many people have been.
It's really amazing. Anyway, speaking of Trump and his lies... he said to, you know, yesterday he tweeted out, I think Senator, well, he tweeted out 13 things yesterday. And, he said, I think Senator Blumenthal should take a nice long vacation in Vietnam where he lied about his service so he can at least say he was there.
Right.
And then DJ Judd, who is a CNN politics guy, said, Trump's personal Vietnam was avoiding STDs in New York.
Right. Well, I put that into What's News, along with the original
the
clip from Howard Stern to show what a sleazeball he is. He got 4 deferments for education because, you know, he was in school, and 1 for heel spurs. I'd love to hear about
remember.
The heel spurs. Which foot? Yeah, he doesn't remember which foot, which heel it was.
Yeah.
That was his own personal Vietnam, avoiding STDs.
Yeah, he's easily confused about those foot spurs. I'm thinking, where was it in my heel? Was it my brain? Maybe I had a heel spur in my brain. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, whatever, fake news. Let's see what my next one is up here. Oh, so speaking of Blumenthal, you know, so he really went after Blumenthal in a number of tweets yesterday. And Adam Kahn, who is just a guy who has a lot of followers, I guess.
A guy on Twitter.
He's a major domo exposing Trump. But I really like him. And he was responding to these tweets. And he said, Blumenthal's father-in-law, Peter Malkin, owned the Empire State Building lease that Trump tried to wrestle away with partner who went to prison.
Uh-huh. That's why Trump doesn't like Richard Blumenthal.
Indeed he do. It says here, what am I looking at? Roll call. Perhaps more importantly, both are central figures in families that have amassed enormous fortunes in the world of prestige Manhattan real estate. For many years, Trump's principal competitors included enterprises controlled by Peter Malkin, whose daughter Cynthia has been married to Blumenthal for 35 years. In parentheses, her riches have made him one of the dozen richest members of Congress every year since his arrival, with a minimum net worth of $67 million, which is another reason he's probably getting it from Trump because he's jealous, as he cruised to his reelection last year. The future president and the future senator's father-in-law were even antagonists in one of the premier New York property battles of the recent vintage over the convoluted ownership structure for the Empire State Building, which ended in 2002 with Trump claiming to have wrested $15 million profit, mainly at Malkin's expense.
Oh, my God.
It all comes out in money. Everything we hear, read, see about Trump, it all goes back to some kind of a money trail every time. It's amazing.
I don't understand why he wants to be president. I mean, I get the power. Oh, yeah, it's the power thing.
No, it's the win. It's not the power. It's the win. He doesn't like the power. The power makes him do things. It makes him be responsible. He hates that.
I can't imagine he's liking having to talk about the opioid crisis today or having to deal with North Korea.
No, he hates all of it. He wanted a win. He didn't want to win because that means he had to do stuff. Like, be responsible, which he's not.
Right.
He wanted another notch on his belt. That's it. Yep. That's why it all comes down to money. He's now just looking at it as a way to make more money. Emoluments clause, people.
Yep.
Anyway,
all right, so he won. He should leave now. He won. He proved he could win. Now he should leave. You know, I was listening to a little bit of Tom Hartman before, and he was asking people, who would you rather have? I mean, it's like, you know, two sides of the same coin. They're both horrible choices, Trump or Pence. At least with Pence, I mean, he's heinous and horrific, but I don't think he's going to
kill us.
Yeah, by mistake, by shooting off his mouth and saying something to the North Koreans, like, you know, you'll be met with, what did he say? Fire.
Fury.
If North Korea escalates nuclear threat, they will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
What a jerk. Well, you know, but meanwhile, what Pence would do is take God's word.
I know.
And, you know, that's what worries me. Is that he may not be the same kind of crazy, but he'll say, well, God
crazy.
Told me to bomb North Korea.
Yeah.
He's a theocrat. So everything he does is going to be aimed at a religious motive.
Oh, yeah.
And he can excuse it by saying, God told me to do it.
Yeah, I agree. It's a no-win situation we're in.
Right. And he's as big a liar as Trump, by the way.
Yeah.
Which people tend to forget. In fact, Sarah Kendzior put out a really good article that wasn't all that long or anything, really to the point about all of Pence's lies. The one I've been harping on, excuse me, is that he got those letters telling him, warning him about, excuse me, about, hello, out of my head, Mike Flynn.
Right.
And his dealings, and he ignored that letter. He seemed to ignore that letter.
Yeah, like he didn't know.
And said he never knew a thing about it. That was absolute lies. He did know. He got several letters from Democrats laying everything out when he was leading the campaign, when he was in charge of the campaign, not the campaign. What was he in charge of?
The transition. The transition.
The transition. Thank you. And so he got it in writing addressed to him as the transition guy, and he lied about it. Oh, what? That's the first I've heard of it. And the thing was, he did that thing where you offer, like, I never heard that. No one had said you heard of it. Why did you bring that up? That's weird that you would bring that up, you know? So he's bringing up things just in order to cover his ass. So on him. Okay. So, Will Bunch,
yes, Will Bunch.
Buddy,
yes.
Just love him. You know him.
The Attitude blog, the Philadelphia Daily News. Yeah. What did Will Bunch tweet?
He tweeted this: the U.S. government has successfully developed a miniaturized weapon that can fit inside 140 characters and blow up democracy. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, great.
He's so good. I love him so much.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He knows I love him. We are little DMers. Like, he tweets me and DMs me his articles, and then we talk about them. And I just think he is so good.
I need to get him back on the show again one of these days.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Please do.
I always love having Will on.
Yeah, he's just great. Anyway, so Trump, as you noted, said he'd be holding a major briefing, which he hasn't done yet.
Oh, really?
On the opioid crisis, a major problem for our country, today at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Right. It's now 3:53 Eastern, by the way.
Yeah, hasn't it? So Chris Murphy of Connecticut, U.S. Senator,
yes,
said, will you be talking about how you spent the last 3 months trying to gut Medicaid, the program that pays for half of all addiction treatment?
Yeah. See, I was wondering if he was going to, you know, take any questions, if he was going to mention North Korea. Right. I know.
Don't be silly. Yeah.
Yes, I know. I know.
That's crazy talk.
Usually when presidents go on vacation, at least Obama did, before he'd leave on vacation, he'd go into the briefing room and for an hour or so he would take questions. Of course,
remember,
Trump didn't do that. No.
No. Why would he do such a thing? That means he has to lie or answer. Either of those things, you know, one rolls off his back, and I guess they both roll off his back. He doesn't care. But no, he wouldn't want to put himself in the embarrassing position of being caught in lies.
Yep.
Because now apparently the savior, the new sheriff in town, and I'm saying that with air quotes, Kelly, is, you see, containing him, except he's not.
Greg Sargent just tweeted, I guess in response to Dump's comment about, you know, North Korea. Nuke experts warned even before Trump took office that unhinged language could lead to catastrophe.
Uh-huh. And he's nailed it. There you go.
Yep.
That's exactly what you and I were thinking as we heard that little quote that we both were discussing just now about the fire and fury. And you all show them, boy, I got bigger toys than you. And we're mightier. Well, that's just great as the rest of us get bombed to smithereens. And the million people in South Korea.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it. Well, that's they're going to be the first to, you know, to get hit if anything happens.
Right. Including our soldiers.
Of course.
Yeah. Give or take a few. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to say thoughts and prayers because, you know, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. No. Right. He doesn't do that. Right. That's just the regular politician speak.
I wonder how his young son is.
Why do you ask that?
Because he moved in with them now. So I just wonder how he's handling all this. I mean, look what we're saying. Look what we're talking about here.
Oh, I know.
His son knows about this.
Well, you would think. And it just shows, again, that Trump doesn't give a shit about anybody but himself.
Exactly. That was exactly where I was going. I mean, I'm thinking about Melania, who has lied on his behalf. And now his poor son has had to come in and face the music. Oh, I mean, I would imagine living with this every day in the same big house.
Yep.
And, you know, the dump, the White House dump.
Yeah. Oh, right. The dump that's being fixed up while he's gone.
Yeah. Well, he'll make it into a dump. He'll probably put gold leaf on everything.
Oh, I can't wait to see. They are going to redecorate, do a little bit of redecorating in the Oval Office. So we'll have to see. You know, the first thing he did was change the curtains, which were like a crimson red behind Obama's desk. And if he got gold ones instead. But we'll see what else he changes while, you know, they do.
Why do I have this image in my head of him running around the White House or the West Wing with a spray can of gold leaf paint, putting his name on everything in big gold letters?
Oh, God.
Trump Towers. This is the Trump dump now.
By the way, did you hear about this new climate report?
Oh, God, yes. As soon as I got that, I put it out there. Yes. How they are, first of all, censoring the words climate change.
Yes. Well, like the state of Florida. Now, I guess they learned that from Rick Scott. You're not allowed to say climate change. But a new unreleased draft report from 13 federal agencies concludes climate change is an urgent threat that is human created and whose impact is being felt in the U.S. right now. But the National Academy of Sciences has signed off on the draft report, and the authors are awaiting permission from the Trump administration to release it. However, the EPA is one of 13 agencies that must approve the report by August 18th. We got 10 days. The agency's administrator, Scott Pruitt, has said he does not believe that carbon dioxide is a primary contributor to global warming. So I guess we have to wait for them to decide whether or not they will release it.
Right. And the reason they leaked it is because they were worried about nobody finding out.
Yeah.
I mean, they wanted that information out there. So there's another leak. And, you know, it's interesting how so many of these leaks are coming from the White House, from his current or past advisors or officials, which just goes to show that his own people can't stand him and are terrified of what he's doing.
Well, they're not. I think some were probably already there. They're, you know, like White House staffers who are in place.
Yeah, some. Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure some are his own people who are horrified by what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always surprised how calm when you watch them on TV, the ones that used to work at the White House that, you know, either like the state attorneys or the people who were in these offices at State Department. And if it were me on TV, I'd be screaming it like, this guy's insane. Are you kidding me? Right. I left because I couldn't stand it. You know, they're so calm about it. They go, well, yes, you know, we left because we didn't feel comfortable with the situation and we thought we couldn't really be of help. And,
right.
You know,
the head of the ethics office. He's one. I forget his name. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, you hear the music. That means we're out of time.
All right, I'm going to go back to duck and cover under my desk if you don't mind.
Okay, you go do that. Everyone, find Gotta Laugh on Twitter, 2 T's, 2 F's, at Gotta Laugh, and here on Tuesdays with me. Thank you, Laffy.
Yay! Thank you, too. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, and with that, we're done for a Tuesday. Tomorrow, David Atkins is going to be here from Washington Monthly. We're going to talk about this whole Sanders, Kamala Harris dust-up, which I think is totally being misrepresented in the press, but then what do I know? We'll find out. We'll talk about what the differences are and where we can all come together. Because if we don't come together, frankly, we're going to have a lot more of Trump. And that's what frightens the hell out of me. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you for your donations. Again, if you can spare an extra buck or five, NicoleSandler.com/donate. I will be forever grateful. And I'll see you tomorrow on The Nicole Sandler Show.
It's Tuesday, August 8, 2017.
And combined with some quite high humidity, it's particularly dangerous.
Europe grapples with relentless heat wave, flash drought causing crop failure in the Great Plains. Trump's Department of Agriculture nixes the phrase climate change. Plus,
the bottom line is always front and center when you're a shareholder-owned company.
The electric utility industry knew about global warming in 1968, but chose to lie about it and build more coal plants anyway.
Because of course they did. All of those stories and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Is that an iceberg the size of Delaware breaking off the Antarctic ice shelf? Or are you just happy to see me?
Both. This is your 800th Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, it seems you have failed.
How so?
Well, this is our 800th Green News Report, and the globe is still warming.
Yes, I have failed in stopping the global climate crisis.
See? Now, for people who don't know, we started the Green News Report 800 episodes ago, but even prior to that, when I was filling in as a guest host on a station up in San Francisco called Green 960, they had just changed their name from The Quake to Green 960. They were owned by Clear Channel, which now calls itself iHeartRadio. That station is no longer there because Clear Channel flipped all their progressive talk stations to right-wing talk. But the Green News Report is still here 800 episodes later. So congratulations, Desi Doyen.
Thank you. You too.
And thanks to those of you who have stopped by bradblog.com/donate to help us crank out 800 episodes. And we'll thank you for doing that again as we move on to 801.
Woo!
But beyond that, what do you have for us today, Desi Doyen?
Well, first up, Europe is grappling with record-breaking relentless heat across the continent that's been nicknamed Lucifer by the media. The BBC reports Lucifer is the worst heat wave to hit Europe since the deadly 2003 heat wave that killed tens of thousands. This time, officials have quickly implemented emergency response measures, and there have been only 6 reported deaths due to coinciding wildfires. Some areas hit a record 117 degrees Fahrenheit over the weekend. Combined with high humidity and high overnight temperatures, that is especially dangerous since so few buildings in Europe have air conditioning. Officials say the high heat and drought has also caused more than $1 billion in crop failure.
Gosh, I wish someone had warned us 800 episodes ago.
Meanwhile, here in the U.S., half of the wheat crop in Montana and the Dakotas has been killed by a flash drought. A flash drought is a rapid onset of intense drought and heat so severe and rapid that plants and livestock simply cannot adjust. The Great Falls Tribune reports rainfall in some areas is more than 75% below normal. It's forcing ranchers to sell off cattle and farmers to quickly harvest what remains of the wheat crop. Losses could reach up to $1 billion.
That sort of crop failure is exactly what scientists warned us about decades ago, but, you know, still ignoring them.
Climate change intensifies and accelerates the effects of crop-killing droughts, but U.S. farmers won't be hearing about that from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The Guardian newspaper reports that internal emails obtained from the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service show that staff early on in the Trump administration were told to avoid using terms like climate change and instead say things like weather extremes and resilience in their communications with farmers.
Good luck to you, farmers.
Finally, it's been 2 years since investigations revealed that executives at ExxonMobil knew as early as 1977 that burning their product would lead to dangerous global warming. And yet, Exxon chose instead to fund climate change denial groups and mislead the public and its investors. Now, a new investigation has uncovered documents showing that the electric utility industry knew, too. The utility industry was warned back in 1968 by its own researchers that fossil fuel-burning power plants contributed to climate change. But according to lead researcher Dave Anderson of the Energy and Policy Institute, in an interview with the broadcast, the utility industry, just like Exxon, instead chose to build more coal-fired power plants and, just like Exxon, fund climate change denial groups in order to protect their profits.
The utility industry, over quite a few years after that, continued to invest heavily in new coal-fired power generation. So they were living with the legacy of those investments, knowing that they had a lifespan of 30 to 40 or 50 years. And, of course, the bottom line is always front and center when you're a shareholder-owned company.
I wonder if the bottom line will still be front and center when our crops are wiped out, our coasts are ravaged, and it's too hot to go outside damn near anywhere in the world.
Yes, we will be living with the legacy of the choices that they've made for decades.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. And once again, my thanks to those of you who help us keep going through 800 episodes by stopping by bradblog.com/donate. Thank you. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Still crazy. Still crazy after all these years.
.com/donate.